Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
I am fresh off vacation, cooking some bacon, and ready to go.
Well, that sounds like you are living your best life at this moment. Vacation, yep, then to bacon. That's pretty nice. Corey Curtis is winning this morning here on the program. Yes. Corey, I want to get your thoughts on Ryan Ellis being traded to the Philadelphia Flyers. Cody Glass coming back. Philip Myers coming back. Honestly, I thought the return was a little bit underwhelming as to what I thought Ryan Ellis could fetch on the open market. What did you think of the return? What did you think of the decision to trade Ryan Ellis by David Poile and the Nashville Predators?
Well, first, I think trading him is one of those necessary evils because, you know, again, it's not just what you get in return. It's the flexibility that you open up for yourself by creating some cap space, and not just cap space now, but how many years were left on that deal? 6 years?
Yep.
Something like that. I mean, and so, you know, the cap space is something that they've been in need of. And frankly, you know, that's a position of depth for them. And if they can afford to make a move, you know, Alexander Carrier makes this move really possible. And look, I am not blaming Ryan Ellis for playoff losses. I am not saying Ryan Ellis isn't a good hockey player. He's a very good hockey player. But what have we seen in the postseason with Ryan Ellis? He gets physically pounded on. And it's a tough scenario for him sometimes. And so in an effort to get bigger, they get bigger. They get a little cheaper. They get younger, as David talked about. All of those things make sense to me. And, you know, so I totally on board, totally get that. You know, as far as the return, yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, they get two players. You know, I mean, it's Myers third line. Is that what our best guess
yep.
is right now?
Yep.
Yeah. So he can come in and play the third line. And because you've got, that's the reason you trade Dallas, is because you think you've got guys for the first two line. But so you add a big 6'5", 210-pound body, a young one. And then you get a guy who hasn't done it to this point, but and he's a real roll of the dice. And you know what? If he plays on the Preds third line this year and he puts up, what, 35 points, I think that's a massive win for the Preds. And, you know, you look at potential, and if he's a total bust, then, yeah, you're looking at it going, boy, you really didn't get much back on it. But, again, for me, like P.K. Subban, you're looking for the flexibility, and you're looking for someone to take on a big contract, and that's not always an easy thing to do.
Well, speaking of that, I feel like David Poile will be making some calls right up until the expansion draft to try to make that happen. What's your confidence level that Seattle might take either of those $8 million forwards?
You know, I don't know, Joe, because, I mean, everything we've heard is what? They don't want to spend a lot of money, right? And there are some other expensive players out there that weren't protected yesterday that are really good players. And, you know, it might be a lot more attractive to go after, you know, a Landeskog or, you know, even a Carey Price or anybody from Tampa because they're all good. And so, you know, those guys will all cost money, and are they willing to do it? Because David's going to have to pay to get them to take him. Now, should he be willing to do it? I mean, how much did the Texans pay the Browns to take Osweiler off their hands? Was that a second or third round pick?
Yeah. I think it was second, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that was, you know, because that was like $16 million in cap space. The thing is, you know, why it's going to be so expensive to do if that's what they decide to do, both of those guys have a ton of years left on their deal. And I think, you know, Duchesne is the one you would probably prefer to unload at this point, and I think he's got 6 years left. And so I don't see it being easy. I'll put it to you that way. And I guess if I had to guess at the end of the day, he's going to have a hard time getting that done. But I would think he's going to kick the tires if he has not kicked the tires and trying to to get that done. What's their cap space situation? Like 20, 24 million right now?
Yeah, right around 24, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, and so, you know, you could be at 32, and you've got to re-sign Forsberg and Ekholm, and you've got the potential Shea problems. But, you know, they'd be in a pretty good spot to start retooling their hockey team.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And speaking of that, David Poile said that he doesn't believe they're in rebuild, later went on to describe it as, quote, a competitive rebuild later in the press conference on Saturday. With that in mind, with the moves that have been made so far and how this team finished the season, where do you think this team is right now, Corey? Is this team in a rebuild mode, in your opinion? What are the Nashville Predators at the moment when you look at their future, both here in the short term and the long term as well?
Well, look, when I say the team's in a rebuild, the car is ripped down to the studs, all right? And they're not there. You know, they've got a goalie. They've got their defense core is done, right? It's filled out. So they're just looking for the right pieces on offense to make them go. And, you know, we're not talking about, you know, six of them. We're talking about two or three of them, right? So, you know, I don't think that that's, to me, that far away. Do I think that they're Stanley Cup contenders the way they are right now? No. Do I think getting the players that it's going to take to get them there is going to be easy? No. That's the harder issue, is, you know, finding those players and getting those players to be available. That's the really hard part. So I like the position they put themselves in, to where they have flexibility to add those pieces, and they know what pieces they need to add. But as we found with trying to find a first-line center here, sometimes that could take like a decade. And so they could have a hard time finding the pieces that they need to be available. And we'll just have to see what's out there. I mean, I Landeskog being available to me is really intriguing, you know, because if they don't take him, would he be available via trade? You know, he's a player I think that could really help him.
All right, Corey, I don't know if you saw the Delanie Walker comments or heard them, I guess.
You know, I saw a little bit of it last night, because, guys, I was really checked out last week. But
yes,
I did read a little bit of those. About, are you talking about the fan base?
Yeah, the fan base, which, again, like, to me, it's two things. One, it's fair to say, hey, Titans fans need to step up. You know, you want to, I mean, this stadium should be a packed stadium this fall. And, you know, the performance of the team now is dictating to me that, you know, that the fans should respond better. But the idea,
well, it's been there for a while, Joe. They've had five winning seasons in a row. Okay,
sure.
It's not like that they just got good. You know, they've been winning.
No question. Now, I would also argue, if I was paying for tickets in 2017, you know, I wouldn't have been, like, massively entertained by that team. But now it's all there. That's fine. But Delanie Walker basically suggesting that because he played here, that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame, or that's why he's not.
Did you say that's why, or is that a reason against him? I mean, that's
we just played.
I'm a Hall of Famer, except I played in Nashville. I mean, if you're saying, hey, if I got a shot at getting in the Hall of Fame, this is going to go against me in the process. I think that's fair to say.
You think that's fair to say?
I think that's definitely fair to say.
Why?
Jerome Bettis is in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Where's Eddie George?
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, okay, but so you think that's a Pittsburgh, Tennessee thing, or is that a ring, no ring thing?
Well, I think there's both are parts of it, but if Eddie George is a Pittsburgh Steeler or a Dallas Cowboy in his prime, do you think he's in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Oh, I do.
I mean, again, I just went through some guys like Drew Pearson and Cliff Branch and Roger Craig, who played for hallowed. You know, again, you can. But the bottom line is, Corey, here's my argument against it: is that, you know, these guys sit in that room for however long they do, and
yeah,
go through every single thing. Like Tony Boselli, right? There's someone threw that at me on the text line. Okay, played for Jacksonville. You can talk about market. I think it's a discredit. I think you're dismissing all the things those people go into when they break down players to think it's that artificial.
Well, I don't think it's that artificial, but I do think there is, I don't know if bias is the right word. There are leanings away and to from teams, and winning the Super Bowl is part of that. You're absolutely right. Not winning the Super Bowl is a part of that. When you get that ring, it can push you over the top. But, you know, like Drew Pearson, I mean, he's got like eight other Hall of Famers on that team that he was on. And so it's, you know, when you're that far down on the list, that's tough. And do I think Drew Pearson is a Hall of Famer? Yeah, I thought Drew Pearson was a great player growing up. And there are other players that have had a hard time. The other thing that makes it a hard time for players is the other players that come up for bid, whatever you want to call it, nomination, the same time you do.
Yep.
You know, because, and, you know, Eddie and I had a famous conversation about this during one of our preseason broadcasts where everybody thought, you know, we were fighting, and we were not. We were just discussing the Hall of Fame process and the difficulties of it. And so it can be difficult for that reason as well. But yeah, playing in Nashville and not winning the Super Bowl, you know, yes, those things hurt him. Do I think Delaney's a Hall of Famer? I don't know. He's one of my favorite players ever to watch here, and tremendous football player for the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if that puts him in the Hall of Fame. Derek Mason, look at his numbers. I mean, he's got some all-time numbers. He was a dominant player for a long time. Would I put Drew Pearson up there with Derek Mason up there with Drew Pearson? Absolutely. Absolutely. And his time in Baltimore probably makes him an even better candidate than his time here with the Titans, even though he was fantastic with the Titans. But it's tough. You know, Tony Boselli's name that always comes up. The guy was hurt his entire career. And I know the people who cover Tony Boselli absolutely think he's a Hall of Famer, and I think that needs to be listened to. But I do think that people in smaller markets can get overlooked some. I think that their careers can be diminished some by the teams that they played for.
But see, then we get into market, and I know we could just keep this going all day. We get into market,
yeah,
or, you know, performance, right? Because Green Bay, Wisconsin, is a tiny market, of course, right?
Yeah, but it's a storied franchise.
Sure,
and
right.
Won a ton.
Well, that's the key, right? To me, that's
the
key.
To the victors go the spoils. Yeah. To the victor go the spoils, and that's what they get. I mean, you know, when you win Super Bowls, but how many Super Bowls have the Packers won? Two? One with Favre, one with Rodgers?
Since the Lombardi era, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've been knocking on the door.
A ton of games. Yeah, they're champions of the division 9 times out of 10. And, you know, the NFL loves to talk about them. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, they're not a small market. I mean, not a big market, but they're a storied market. They're fabric of the league, okay? I mean, you know, when they're one of the first five teams that comes up when you talk about the National Football League. You know, they're like original six in the National Hockey League. And, you know, Tennessee Titans is not. Jacksonville Jaguars is not. And again, I'm not dismissing the job those guys do in that room. It's a really hard job. And the NFL Hall of Fame is amongst, I don't know what the criteria is for all of them, but when you see the players that are not in, you realize how difficult that is to get into. It is truly a Hall of Fame. It's not a Hall of Very Good, all right? And there are some areas where you see it's a Hall of Very Good. This is not a Hall of Very Good. It's a Hall of Fame, and, you know, only the elite get in, and sometimes they get left out. When you see some of the players who get in from the Veterans Committee, I apologize, my phone is quacking. When you see some of the players that get in from the Veterans Committee, you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this guy wasn't already in. I mean, because it's that difficult. And you need so many things to go in your direction. You know, like we talked about, having a Super Bowl really helps. Playing for a storied franchise really helps. Because, I mean, look, who plays on national TV more, all right? The Tennessee Titans or the Green Bay Packers? Who does everybody see play all the time? You know, they see some of these same guys. And again, I don't think anybody goes in with a bias, saying, "Well, I'm not going to vote for that guy because he's a Titan, or a Jaguar, or a Bungle." But you know, how many times did I really get to see this guy play? How much did I really get to appreciate what he did? Not on TV very much.
Corey Curtis joins us every week on Mondays here at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff, man. Welcome back from vacation. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thank you very much, and I do appreciate that conversation because there are no simple answers.
Sure.
To it.
And, absolutely.
And like I said, I watched Lonnie Walker play for, 5, 6, 7 years. Unbelievable player. I wouldn't complain if he got in. I don't give him much of a chance, but it's an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Corey, we appreciate it, man. Have some bacon.
All right, later.
That's right. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, so we'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Wednesday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Wednesday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Wednesday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, discussing Delanie Walker's comments made on SiriusXM, talking about his future of playing, why he continues to play. He wants to win a Super Bowl and thinks that maybe some of the personal accolades that he could have gotten in the past and maybe could get in the future were hurt by him playing here in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, Delanie Walker would have made the Hall of Fame playing for New England. He is delusional. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I disagree with a lot of what Corey said last segment. And actually, Corey entertains Delanie Walker as a Hall of Famer. I mean, I honestly have not thought of, and I know it's kind of been like he hasn't really totally retired and all that stuff yet. Maybe he will come back.
Delanie Walker's not a Hall of Famer.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's really a serious discussion. Corey entertains it. But again, I'm sorry. I agree with the idea that, okay, if you play for a storied franchise, you play for the Cowboys or Packers or Steelers, Patriots, whatever, you get more discussion, you're on TV more, all that stuff. So that's fine. So maybe there's a little bit of like unconscious bias for the voter, you know, in favor of the players who are in those situations. But again, I say if you're on good teams that win, you are on TV because you're in the playoffs. And people see that. And people, we all watch Steve McNair and Eddie George in their heyday. Anybody who followed the NFL, it didn't matter that they were in a small market. I watched every second of them in the playoffs back then in Michigan. And so did anybody who follows this league from anywhere. So that takes care of a lot of it. I like the Bocelli thing, or someone threw Fred Taylor at me on the text line. You know, those are guys worth discussing. They have been discussed. And I just don't buy at all that playing there, can it cost you individual accolades? And I suppose you could say, well, this guy had 8 Pro Bowls and this guy had 2. Is it possible that market has something to do with that? I guess. But they, again, the committee in particular, that's what I'm talking about. They go way deeper than this artificial surface stuff. I'm sorry. I don't buy it at all.
It is interesting because, I mean, the example that Corey brought up, which is an interesting debate, is Jerome Bettis, right? So Jerome Bettis, of course, great running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. To your point, he's won a Super Bowl. But also beyond that, I mean, Eddie George was great here with the Titans. I do think Eddie George at least belongs in the discussion for the Hall of Fame. He's been in the discussion for the Hall of Fame. He's not in there. Eddie George finishes with 10,441 yards. And I realize, like, the yard total is not everything, but Jerome Bettis got more than 13,000 yards. I mean, there are the Super Bowls, certainly, it's part of it. But, I mean, Jerome Bettis did have more yards, did have, you know, equal kind of comparable numbers across the board, and maybe the Super Bowl is the one thing that pushes him over the top there.
It's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Bettis is 8th all-time in rushing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Corey, but, like, there's a difference in those two careers beyond – well, he played in Pittsburgh, and people talk about Jerome Bettis in Pittsburgh. I mean, he is almost 14K with the ring, and the ring is, and maybe the ring. Like, I disagree with Lenny Walker saying it's sad that the ring would have something to do with your individual, but why is it sad? I think it's not. I think it's the point. Isn't the point to win?
Well, it's not sad, but it should not be everything, and it's not everything. But I do think there are some times where it's a little bit too much slanted towards, oh, this guy won a Super Bowl.
That's
and
fine.
This guy did.
But that's still a different discussion than market, right?
Sure.
I can buy that. Again, like even when you go to the NBA, you know, Charles Barkley, I think as time goes on, as much as we all love him on the greatest TV show ever on television,
and love how Shaq NBA, takes a shot at him every time.
Yeah. I think as time goes on, I think he's not respected enough as a player. He was one of the greatest players I've ever seen. And it's the ring thing now, which is fun when Shaq rips on him for that, right? But like the fact that is so held against him, it is. It's a little bit over, but to me, it's still, these are team sports, and so that should mean a lot. Maybe not as much as it does, but I completely reject. I played in this city with this fan base or this market, and that's why. I don't have this. I just don't buy that for anyone, good or bad. Good market, bad market. They are dissected down to every carry of their career.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt in Gallatin texting in. Delaney's comments seem very bitter to me. I'm not sure if there are some hard feelings from being let go a few years ago by the Titans. Keep in mind, the Titans gave him an opportunity to finally be a starter in the NFL. He was a backup for the 49ers and did a great job here. Not sure if that would have happened anywhere else.
That's a good point. But again, I mean, he was great. I mean, again, he had three Pro Bowls. He had a case to make four. And he had his greatest years. I mean, his two best years in terms of, you're talking 10 touchdowns, you're talking almost 2,000 yards, almost 160 catches. Those two best years were for teams that went 5-27. And that hurts you. You know, whoever was here watching these games, or I mean, you're not going to get talked about at all because your team's bad.
Right.
So that does. But again, I just went through some examples. Calvin Johnson, I promise you, there were some fans paying attention because everybody was laughing to see if they would go 0-16. You know, I mean, if you're great, you can overcome all this stuff, including losing as people for the Lions, and you can go through Cardinals. Dan Dierdorf's teams never won a thing. Everybody knew he was a great offensive lineman. Bruce Matthews never played in the Super Bowl. First ballot, no question. Yeah. You know, it goes beyond this stuff. I'm sorry.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got some of your thoughts to get to in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get back into the Ryan Ellis trade as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you today on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the NFL Hall of Fame and the criteria to get in. And we'll get to your thoughts on the text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, going to discuss the Ryan Ellis trade as well to the Philadelphia Flyers. So if you have thoughts on that, hit up our text line as well. Jim texting in, Joe, what is your criteria for the Hall of Fame? I've often heard the criteria, quote, can you tell the story of the NFL without mentioning this particular player? The Hall of Fame component does seem to be hampered by a small market. Great discussion, guys. So what would your Hall of Fame criteria be for players?
I can't like condense it into a sentence because there are different cases.
Sure.
I mean, Terrell Davis is an example of, because I think in a lot of cases, so Bettis versus Eddie George is one of those. Was it market? Was it performance? I mean, you know, Jerome Bettis is a two-time first-team All-Pro, a six-time Pro Bowler. He was, you know, he was rookie and comeback player of the year, two Super Bowls, won one. I mean, those are all, and the longevity, he had longer time period, so he compiled more stats, and that does matter, of course. I mean, longevity matters, but Terrell Davis is an example of someone who had a brief, super elite career, which also included rings. I mean, rings are hard to shake in this thing, okay? I'm getting blown up on my text line by Mr. Stillman here, and I would agree with this on McNair. He says McNair's in the Hall if Dyson gets in the end zone because McNair is then Super Bowl MVP, which is true. So you got the ring and you got the Super Bowl MVP to add to everything else, and I think that might make the difference. I think McNair and Eddie George both have cases right now. But here's where I disagree. So Stillman also says if Eddie George and Steve McNair played in Dallas, they'd have a much better shot of getting in. I don't agree. If they played in Dallas and had those exact numbers and had no rings, I'm sorry. I think they'd be viewed exactly as they're viewed. I know a lot of people reject that. Market matters and the incremental stuff. The incremental stuff can add up. That's true. So maybe when I talk about Bettis as an all-pro, is it possible that because he was with the Steelers, he got an all-pro nod? Maybe. That's possible. But, again, I respect the job those people do on the committee. And I just think it goes well. They dig way deeper than these things we're talking about. So I don't buy that at all.
Frank on the text line, Eli Manning is likely going to be in the Hall of Fame. Two rings and two MVPs pushed him over. Playing in New York certainly didn't hurt, but I still think that he'd go in if he did the same thing for the Titans.
Well, Eli's a great, because someone else texted on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, using Eli Manning as an example of he's going to get in, and if you took away his name and market, what he did isn't enough. And I argued, like, I think he's an argument for what I'm saying here, because he has the name, he has the market, he has two rings, he was MVP. And there's still a whole bunch of people who are like, he's just not good enough. And the point being, and the argument I've heard against Eli Manning is, at any point in his career, did we think he was the best quarterback or even close to the best quarterback in the NFL?
Well, what do you mean by even close?
Well, I mean, how about top five? Was he a top five quarterback in the NFL at any point during his career?
He was probably right there on the
edge. Right there, right on the fringe.
Yeah. But to your point,
is that Hall of Fame? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But that's where you also get into, well, there's just certain eras where there's like seven great quarterbacks, and then there's like 5-year stretch where there's
nobody.
One. Yeah. I mean, it's so many, and that's the thing to the original question there. It's a great question. You know, what's your criteria? I mean, to me, it changes. And that's why you have to sit there in those rooms and talk through everything. And if anyone in that room, like with Tony Boselli, ever said, yeah, but he was in Jacksonville, or, you know, I didn't see him on TV much. You know, it's just not quite. Now, if he was in, you know, New England, then that's a different story. I don't buy it. I think had he won the ring in Jacksonville, then it's different. Win the ring anywhere, any of these markets, it's different.
I hear you. I mean, so you're telling me like 1 yard is the difference between McNair and George being in the Hall of Fame? Like that's when I start to have a problem with it. I'm like, okay, so if their careers are good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, but they don't have the ring, but the ring puts them over the top, like to me that's a problem.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere. I'm just guessing. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, I would tend to agree. Like, again, that yard means the ring. And to Stillman's point, it means Super Bowl MVP. That's a pretty big thing on your resume. You were the MVP winning a championship. Like, I don't disagree with you saying maybe too much is made of the ring, but do I think that's true? I could buy it. I could buy it. You don't win a ring. You got to be exceptional. You got to be Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders playing for a terrible franchise that has one playoff win since 1957. One playoff win.
It's amazing. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew texting in, are there any Super Bowl winning quarterbacks not in the Hall of Fame? Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Several.
Tons.
Yep. Dilfer. Yeah. Flacco.
Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson. Yeah.
There's more. There's more than that.
Well, Stillman just texted me, is Kurt Warner in without that yard? Is Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame without that, with the Titans win that game?
Well, let's see. I mean, Kurt Warner, you're talking about, he ended up with some massive numbers.
Sure.
You know, that's the thing. Like, I talk up Dan Fouts a lot, right?
You do. Big fan of Dan Fouts here on the show.
I'm a big fan of Dan Fouts. I talk him up all the time. You know, Kurt Warner blows him away in terms of numbers, and even if you don't have the Super Bowl ring. So let's see. So Warner got there two other times too, right? How many times did Warner get to the Super Bowl?
Two other times.
He lost with Arizona.
Yeah, lost with and he St. lost Louis to the, again as well for Brady's first Super Bowl.
Brady's first win, right. Yeah. So he got there three times. Obviously, he started in the league a little older. So, I mean, Kurt Warner, career passing yards, 32K, right? So, and this is, it just gets so interesting when you're comparing all these different factors. So, someone texted me about Eli Manning. Eli Manning, 57K? Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I have that right?
Yeah.
And still, we're like, ah, I don't know, Eli. But, I mean, it's a.
He's 117 and 117. That's the other thing that people say. Like, he's a 500 quarterback through his career.
Right.
And even the years they won the Super Bowl, what were they, 9-7 both years? And then they win?
They got hot in the playoffs. Yeah. And I mean,
win's a win, whatever. But
he looked like me as a fifth grade quarterback, just sort of just throw it up to somebody and hope they catch it, you know? I mean, worked out for him. That was the play of the game. But I think Jared may be right. I mean, maybe Kurt Warner doesn't quite get in because he doesn't have a ring. It's possible.
It's possible.
I mean, again, whether you agree with it or not, I don't think there's any, I think that's one thing that we can look at and say that's clearly highly valued. I just reject the market really having any serious impact on that.
I got a text that says, why do people assume if Dyson gets the extra yard that the Titans automatically win? They would have had to win in overtime.
Very true.
That's true. Or Fisher goes for two.
That's true, too. We've talked about that. Yeah. You always do have to qualify the yard, and then you do more stuff to win.
I would have loved to see Fisher go for two. Can you imagine?
So I think I just saw somebody asked him this. What did he say?
I don't know.
He must have been asked this many times over the years.
Oh, I'm sure he has been. Like, I think it's easy now to just be like, yeah, I'd go for two. Why not?
Has he said that?
I don't know.
It's like we had
maybe
it all
set. Maybe you could
do
your Jeff Fisher voice that people want you to do.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't really.
More like Ryan Joyce.
Bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting discussion. There's a lot of names being thrown at us about Hall of Fame. Are they in the Hall of Fame or are they not? Like, look, to me, Eddie George's a Hall of Famer. I think he needs to be in. I just
So you're Eddie more than McNair.
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's position too, right? I think they both have a case. McNair had some big moments. Like McNair, he never really put up all the big numbers. You know what I mean? Like he won the co-MVP, and that certainly is in his favor. But like McNair, numbers wise, it wasn't really that great. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
different era. He did different things, and I think McNair
incredibly
was more
tough.
About he was incredibly tough.
Most
important position, and he was clutch. That's just what he was. He was clutch. There's something to be said for that too. It's just interesting. A lot of the criteria is numbers. How do you kind of factor that with the different eras? That's a tough job for any Hall of Fame committee.
Right, because like again, that's where like Drew Pearson, by the way, Cowboys, great player, rings, all that stuff. You know, but the numbers. You compare it to guys in the 21st century,
yeah.
They don't. But you should be judged in your era.
Yeah. When we come back, we will get back into the Ryan Ellis trade to the Philadelphia Flyers. What do we think of the return? What does this mean for the Predators, where they are both in the short term and in the long term? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan Ellis traded over the weekend by the Nashville Predators. He is now with the Philadelphia Flyers. The Predators in return get defenseman Philip Myers, and with a three-way deal with the Vegas Golden Knights as well, the Predators originally acquiring Nolan Patrick. They move him to Vegas for Cody Glass, who is a 22-year-old forward, a former sixth overall pick in the 2017 NHL draft, so first round, sixth overall. And that was the return for the Nashville Predators in their trade with the Philadelphia Flyers, sending Ryan Ellis to the Flyers. Now, there's a lot to unpack here about this trade. Joe, I want to start with you simply with this question. What did you think of the decision by the Predators to trade Ryan Ellis itself? Were you surprised? Is it a good idea to move on from Ryan Ellis? Do you think there's a chance that the Predators could regret this trade, moving Ryan Ellis to the Philadelphia Flyers? What was your initial reaction when you saw this come across on Saturday afternoon?
Oh, there's plenty of chance for regret. There's a lot of things that the Nashville Predators may and currently are regretting. So I do think that moving him makes sense. You have cap room now. I don't think the return was great. I'm underwhelmed by the return. You know, Cody Glass could end up being a really good player. Sixth overall pick, young, has had some injuries, knee stuff. Not in the greatest situation really to have a chance in Vegas. So it could work out. But I guess when I looked at Ellis, even with a long deal like he has, I would have assumed a return of someone who's a little bit more proven in this league. As far as moving him, I'm with you. I think he's a good player. I think he's probably underrated by some Preds fans because it's probably in particular some moments in the postseason that have not been good. Overall, he's been really good, and he is really good. He's going to be really good for Philly. But if you're going to do this and really shake it up, he was one of the logical choices, along with Arvidsson. And now it's interesting when you look at him in a tandem, sort of getting rid of the small, scrappy guys, going to a big, brutish team with guys like your favorite player, Yakov Trenin, and so on and so forth, even though you hate him.
Yes, apparently so. Yakov Trenin. Lots of love for Yakov Trenin yesterday. Again, good player.
How's that poll going, by the way?
That's a good question. We'll update that in the 9 o'clock. We'll do that to begin the 9 o'clock hour coming up. The poll question of the day, which you can find at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, look, I wasn't necessarily surprised that Ellis got traded. We talked about it earlier this offseason. Ellis and Arvidsson, I pegged as kind of the two most likely guys to get moved because I think given guys who are locked up long-term, they're the most value and the easiest guys to move for David Poile and the Predators. They've done that now, to your point, two smaller guys, maybe trying to get a little bit bigger, trying to play more of that playoff style of game. My question is, and David Poile talked about this a little bit on Saturday, is this a rebuild? He doesn't think so. He used the term competitive rebuild in his press conference. I'm not willing to go that it's a rebuild yet, and one thing that I said earlier in the show that I think bears repeating here, you always have to keep in mind with discussions like this that the offseason is not over. There's a long game of an offseason. There's the different benchmarks that you hit. We've not gotten to free agency yet, not even gotten to the expansion draft yet. There's still many dominoes yet to fall for David Poile and the Predators, including maybe some potential contract extensions as well. So right now, you can't convince me that this Predators team, as it sits here today, is better than the one that just finished up the season. Like, there's no way you're going to convince me of that.
I mean, would anybody try to convince you of
that? There were several people yesterday trying to convince me of that.
They were saying this team is better now.
Because simply they've moved on from Ryan Ellis and Victor Arvidsson.
Okay, well, and this was not on Facebook?
No, this was on Twitter.
Is this on Snapchat, TikTok?
No, it's on Twitter.
Is someone dancing this stupid takeout to you?
I wish. I would welcome that. That'd be a change of pace.
My God. But no, of course they're not better.
They're not better, but the picture is not yet done. But I'm looking at the options out there. Unless you're David Poile and you're about to make a big move, which maybe he is. Elliot Friedman has talked about He's not afraid to make a big move. They've got some cap space now. Maybe another big move is coming. But there's a lot of questions, I think, for two guys in particular that would be watching the rest of this offseason very closely. And Philip Forsberg and Mattias Ekholm are those two players, both eligible to sign a contract extension on July the 28th. If I'm Forsberg or Ekholm, I'm looking around saying, all right, you've traded Victor Arvidsson for a second-round pick and a third-round pick, neither one of which is going to be on the roster this year. You've traded Ryan Ellis for a third-pair defenseman and a exciting prospect, but a prospect that to this point has been underwhelming at the NHL level. Now, maybe he figures it out, and we'll see what happens with Cody Glass. But if I'm Forsberg and Ekholm, that's probably how I'm viewing this right now. What does that mean for the short-term future of this team? I think there's still a lot of questions about how competitive they're going to be able to be. Is it a retool? If so, how long does that take? Because I think it's two different conversations. Like, Forsberg could probably, at the end of the day, live with going through it a little bit for a couple of years and then hopefully coming out on the other side. At that point, he would be 28, 29, 30 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood.
33, 34.
Well, depending on how long
it went. If you're the Red Wings.
Yeah, depending on how long it went. Ekholm right now is 31 years old. He has been a great player for the Predators. He does not have much time left of being a great player. I think he can still be a very good player. He does not have a whole lot of time left of being a great player. If you're Ekholm and you don't like the way this offseason goes for the Predators, do you want to sign up for four or five more years of this, knowing that maybe two or three of them you're in a rebuild? I think that's a really interesting question to watch, is how those two guys in particular view this as they move forward here.
I mean, you have to – there's so many other factors, obviously. I mean, I take everyone at their word when they say they love living here, because I don't know how you wouldn't.
Right.
So that's part of it, and both those guys have been here for a long time. And a lot of these guys in this team have started families here and things like that. But I do wonder how much both of them are like, okay, what's next? What else are you doing? What are you doing so that we're better than we are right now on paper? This is not a playoff team right now. I mean, for as flawed and banged up and all that as Arvidsson and Ellis were, you take them away, plus Pecorino retiring, by the way, and Mikael Granlund right now is open for anyone to sign him. I mean, this is not a playoff team. So
probably not. Now, this division is very interesting in that way, but probably not.
Okay, yeah. Very likely not. Yeah. There's a lot of things. Again, Cody Glass could come out and just be great. And Tomasino could be ready to rock. And Tolvanen, the good Tolvanen from last year as a whole. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know. So it's not like it's impossible. But I would look at this team up and down the roster and say, no, not a playoff team. So how much are those guys, before they engage in this extension conversation, you know, thinking about, like, wondering, like, what else is going to be added here? Because if it's just, like, basically other stuff nibbling around the edges and you got cap space and you're going young, then I could see them looking at it and saying, okay, when are we really going to be competitive again? But then again, to your question earlier, what would be the big move? What would be the big usage of this cap space right now that could be transformational and give this team a big jolt?
Is it a Jack Eichel trade?
That's the name.
I don't know. I mean,
does he really fit in here?
I mean, if you get Jack Eichel, if Jack Eichel of, you know, 2 years ago shows up, sure.
He fits anywhere.
But is that player going to show up? I mean, his neck injury is concerning to me. I mean, it's obviously concerning to the Buffalo Sabres too. But basically what's happened with Eichel is he's got some neck issues, and he's trying something out that's not approved by the team doctor to try to fix it, which that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea. It just makes you wonder why are they not on the same page in terms of fixing an injury.
Of course, there's a lot of things you wonder about that organization.
There is that too. But, like, that's the name that comes to mind. Like, I look at, you know, the unrestricted free agents that are going to be out there. Like, I'm assuming they still want Mikael Granlund to be a part of this, so you got to have some money there, which now they have a lot more money to spend there. But I'm looking around. I mean, you've got Gabriel Landeskog that's going to be out there. If somehow Colorado doesn't find a way to bring him back in, I still find it hard to believe that they're just going to let their captain walk. I don't know. Like, that to me, there's the free agent crop, other than a couple guys this year, it's not that great. So I don't know where all this money is going to be spent at that point, unless it's via trade. And the part about a trade is, what are you giving up to get Jack Eichel at this point? Like, I still look at the Predators
Cody Glass.
From an asset perspective. Maybe it is Cody Glass. And I just don't think there's a lot there to give up to get a guy like Jack Eichel, to even put yourself in a conversation for that.
Cody Glass, Tomasino, high pick.
Jeez. That'd be something.
I don't know. You can always take assets and quickly flip them around, right? It's not like you can't do that.
I mean, you could. I don't know if that's the route I'd go. But you could do it if you're David Poile and the Predators.
I mean, the competitive rebuild. So if that's not the case and there's not some earth-shaking addition, basically the competitive rebuild is the hope that a lot of these guys that we already know just all basically go best-case scenario, right? And even then
– And how long have we been doing that?
Well, right. And even then, what are you? How good are you?
It's a great question. Shane from Ashland City on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Do y'all think this is just trade bait, moving these guys out so they don't have to protect them, then after the expansion draft, making the other half of these big moves? Well, I will say, if there are more big moves to come, now they got to come after the expansion draft because there's a deadline, there's a trade freeze in the NHL right now. So if you're going to make more moves, it's got to have to be after the expansion draft unless you're making a move specifically with Seattle at this point.
Which I'm sure is being attempted this week.
Which I'm sure it is as well. And speaking of that, we'll talk about that when we come back. The protection list put out there yesterday by the Nashville Predators and all other 30 teams around the NHL, excluding Vegas and Seattle, because Vegas doesn't have to give up anything in this expansion draft.
What a life.
They continue to just be living their best life, don't they, out there in Vegas?
Born on third base, man.
That's right. We'll get to the Predators protection list coming up next. Are we surprised by who was left off? Are we surprised by who's on the protection list? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.